Let us pray for a blessing on the scripture reading for this afternoon. Lord, as we come to you this afternoon, we pray for your guidance. Help us understand the message in the Lord's Day and the related Bible passages. Make clear to us what we must do to honor your word. Be with all who are with us this afternoon that they will be blessed by the sermon that will be read. Keep us focused and alert and be with him who will deliver this message. We pray for those who cannot be here this afternoon that they may still be blessed by this afternoon's message through the internet or by the tape and CD program. We also pray for those that feel they have no need to be here, that you may soften their hearts and bring them to an understanding of your greatness and a need to worship you continually for the many blessings we receive each and every day. In Christ our Savior's name, amen. Our confessional reading for today is Lord's Day 39 and is found on page 891 of the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. Again, that's page 891. It's Lord's Day 39 and question and answer 104. Question number 104. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? The answer: that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and to all those in authority over me, submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. In our scripture reading, there's two passages, one in Proverbs 4, verses 10 to 19, and Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. And we'll start with Proverbs 4, starting at verse 10. Proverbs 4, verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. And when you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And then from Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. As mentioned before, this sermon was written by Reverend George Rampopta. The title is True Freedom, and the topic is obedience. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I think it's fair to say that we all want freedom, but what is freedom? How would you define it? Is it being able to do exactly what you want, when you want? No one telling you what to do? No outside authority in your life? There was a time in the life of the people of Israel when there was no outside authority in the people's lives. I'm talking about the time of the judges. There is that refrain: there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They had freedom from authority, but what kind of freedom was it? It was miserable. For it led to heathen practices, the judgment and punishment of God at the hands of marauding tribes and cruel nations. At the end, Israel's rejection of God's authority and law led to their expulsion from the land and exile in Babylon. Some freedom. What applied on a larger scale to the nations of Israel applies on a smaller scale to our families. Each of our families is a small nation. Just as God governed Israel by the hand of the king, so God governs our families by the hands of our parents. Your mom and dad are the king and queen of your family. As Israel rejected God when they rejected the king, so we reject God when we rebel against our parents. Rebelling against God never leads upward to happiness and freedom. Rather, it leads downward to slavery and misery. As we listen to the instruction of Lord's Day 39, we're going to think about three things. First, nurturing the children. Second, honoring our parents. And third, living in freedom. First thing we need to see when we begin talking about the parents' task to nurture their children is that parents must give their children good instruction and discipline. That's the first task of parents. That's how parents nurture their children. To nurture means to care for and to encourage the growth or development of someone or something, like a plant or, in this case, children. Parents have many legitimate concerns for their children. We are concerned about their education of our children. We even make financial sacrifices for Bible-based and confessional schools. If they are academically inclined, we are willing to make further sacrifices to have them go to college or university. If they are inclined towards a trade, we like to help them get set up in one of these trades. We teach the children skills, job skills, personal skills, life skills. Parents are often concerned about the social status of their children. Then we have other concerns, their health and physical well-being, clothing. We want to provide a good home environment for the children to live in. And so we buy them toys and dolls, bicycles and Lego blocks. This is all good and important, and all of this falls within the task of parents. Being moms and dads includes all of this, but it is all secondary. The primary task of parents is to instruct and discipline their children in the way of the service of the Lord. Parents, that is your first responsibility to your children, to help the children advance in the understanding of God, of His Word, and of the covenantal relationship He has with your children. Think of the well-known words of Deuteronomy 6, which tells the parents to pass the knowledge of God on to their children. The Lord said through Moses, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." In the book of Proverbs, we have an extensive collection of parental teaching. Throughout the Proverbs, children are encouraged and exhorted to accept and obey the instruction of their parents. It starts in 1 Proverbs 8 and 9. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck." We read part of chapter 4 about a father's instruction. The child is called upon to accept it and pay heed to it. Now, if children are supposed to listen to their parents' instruction and to pay heed to what mother and father say, then it is clear that the parents must give that good instruction. The Bible assumes that you as parents are going to give your children the food and clothing they need. As Jesus said, when a son asks for a piece of bread, then his father is not going to give him a stone. And if he asks for an egg, that's not going to give him a snake. Of course not. Jesus assumed that parents give their children the things they need for daily welfare. The Bible doesn't command parents to do these things. Rather, it commands us to do the most important thing, to teach the children about the Lord, to teach them about God's great deeds of salvation and about His commandments. And this is to go from generation to generation. Think again of what we read in Proverbs 4, where we hear a father speaking to his son. Father says, "Listen, my son, pay attention to what I say. When I was a son with my father, he taught me and said to me," and then comes the teaching. To hold fast the commandments, the precepts, and divine wisdom, we hear a father pass on his father's teaching to his children. three generations. We too must pass on what we have received to the children, so that the word of God may be preserved in the lives of the generations. Sometimes you will meet with resistance. Even children at a young age will at times resist to sabotage your efforts, but it is your task as parents to persevere. We can give our children many things: a nice home, good food, stylish clothing, computers, way to entertain themselves, Wii's, Xbox, iPads, smartphones, Netflix, piano lessons, opportunities to play sports, many things. But if we do not faithfully pass on to them the sound instruction of the Word of God, we have shortchanged our children. We hear whenever parents make those wonderful promises to God before presenting a child for baptism. Listen again to the third question. Do you promise, as father and mother, to instruct your child in this doctrine as soon as he or she is able to understand, and to have him or her instructed therein to the utmost of your power? Good instruction is so important for the future well-being of your children. Along with instruction comes discipline. Lord's Day 39 talks about instruction and discipline. These always go together. The book of Proverbs teaches that if you love your children, you will discipline them. Proverbs 3, verse 12 says that parents will reprove and discipline the child they love. The Apostle Paul, in Ephesians 6, verse 4, commands parents to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It might at first seem easier to be light on discipline, and perhaps even to say, let the kids make up their own minds, let them go their own way and find out for themselves. Give them some space, they'll be okay, they'll be all right, let them experiment by themselves and find their own way. That can be disastrous, especially if it's based on bad theology. It's based on the idea that there is no such thing as original sin. It's Pelagianism. Pelagius, who lived around the year 400, rejected the doctrine of original sin. He said that every child is born as a blank slate without the guilt of original sin. To reject discipline is to embrace Pelagianism. Children need to learn self-discipline. That's not something that comes naturally. By nature, we are all born spiritually dead. It is as parents discipline their children that the children will learn self-discipline. Parents may not do so in a cruel, heavy-handed way. We must be careful that we do not frustrate our children by unreasonable demands and expectations. As Paul said, fathers, do not provoke or exasperate your children. We must beware of discouraging our children by harsh discipline. We must give them firm, kind, and loving discipline, and in that way lead them to the pathways of the Lord. It is God's will to govern the children by the hand of the parents he gave to the children. Let's be faithful in doing so. You will recognize that the word discipline and disciple are closely related. Parental discipline needs to be done in such a way that the parents lead their children to be disciples, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps some of you had parents who did not nurture you, who perhaps were hard on you, maybe even abusive. That is difficult, but please know that you have a Father in heaven who has adopted you and who will always be good and kind, and you have your church as your mother who will always lovingly nurture you. That brings us to the second point. The children must submit in obedience to this good instruction and discipline. The basic commandment is honor your father and your mother. The word honor, which is used in the Hebrew, meaning something like heavy or weighty, in the sense of importance. The Lord calls upon you to be impressed by your parents, to consider them important, for they carry weight and authority. That same word, the Hebrew word for honor, is used at times to refer to God. To describe him, we must honor him because he is important and impressive. In the fifth command, God requires of us that we honor our parents as we honor him. By using that same word, by saying the fifth commandment that we must honor our parents, God is teaching us that he takes some of this weight and authority and places it upon our parents. You must respect and obey your parents because God has given them authority over you. As Lord's Day 39 says, it is God's will to govern you by their hand. A child can do little worse than dishonor his parents. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by the vultures. That's a rather gruesome prospect. This commandment also calls you to love your parents. The thing about honor is you can quite easily enough fake it, but love, that you can't fake. Are you called to be faithful to them? And you are called to be faithful to them. Stick up for them and help them. That's a lifelong task. Very important that we remain faithful to our parents when they get old, weak, and feeble, perhaps even suffer from dementia. Proverbs 23, verse 22 says, do not despise your mother when she is old. Then, too, remain faithful. There is no statute of limitations on the fifth commandment. It will apply for as long as you have parents. Not all of us have children, but we all have or have had parents to honor and love. Here, too, we should follow the example of Jesus. He showed us how to honor our parents. When he was young, he was an example of obedience and submission. Read about that in Luke 2, verse 51. Luke wrote very explicitly of the 12-year-old Jesus that was obedient to his parents. At the end of his life, even when he hung dying on the cross, he was concerned about his mother. He committed her to the care of his disciple, John. Then he was an example of faithfulness. In his youth, he was an example of obedience. In his adulthood, he was an example of faithfulness. His whole life, from adolescent to adulthood, was embraced by faithfulness to his earthly parents. He had patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings. We too need to have patience with the weaknesses and shortcomings of our parents. Your parents are not perfect. They will be the first to tell you that. They make mistakes and errors of judgment. God calls you to be patient with them. There is a limit to all this, really only one limitation. The limitation is you must love the Lord Jesus more than your father or mother. As Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Above all, we must love Jesus Christ. Our love for our parents may never get in the way of our love for Christ. If ever we have to choose between parents and Jesus Christ, between our earthly family and the family of the church, we must choose the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. We must follow Christ at all times. In Matthew 10, the Lord said that our obedience to Christ will at all times create stress between parents and children. Sometimes we have to bear a cross, even within the context of family, for the sake of our obedience to Christ. That's difficult and that's sad. But Christ will give you strength. Love, honor, and obey your parents, but love Jesus above all. That brings us to our third point. If we live in this way in our families, then things will go well for us. If the parents give the children good instruction and discipline, and if the children submit to this, and if the church, who is the mother of us all, instructs and disciplines us according to the word of God, then we will obey and we will enjoy true freedom. You see, this is a promise attached to this commandment. The promise is that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. God said this to his people Israel as he was bringing them into the promised land. If you obey your parents, if you submit to their good instruction and discipline, you will live long in this land. Because when you obey them, you obey me. But if you reject the instruction and discipline of your parents, and if you reject the teaching they received from their parents and are now handing down to you, if you reject that, your days will be short in the land, and I will drive you out of the land of freedom back into slavery. The promised land was the reality and true expression of Israel's freedom. God took them from slavery in Egypt and brought them into a free land. They turned their back on the divine instruction and discipline which they received from their parents. Then God would drive them from the land of freedom back into slavery. We know from the history recorded in the Old Testament that this happened. The people ended up in exile in Babylon. Proverbs 4 connects obeying your parents with long life. Listen to verse 10. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. And to verse 13, hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for this is your life. Obedience leads to freedom and to life, while disobedience leads to slavery and death. In Proverbs 4, verses 14 to 19, we read about those who rejected and scoff at their parents' teaching and discipline. And verse 19 says that the way of these people is like deep darkness. They ended up groping around in the darkness of sin. They stumble and fall on their faces. They are too foolish even to realize over what they have stumbled. You can see it in the lives of some people, in the lives of people who have rejected their parents as good instruction and discipline. Their parents warned them about reckless and godless living. They rejected that, and their lives spiraled out of control. Perhaps that has happened or is happening to some of you, or one of you. You are not listening to your mom and dad. What they say is old-fashioned. You have lost interest in what they have to say. Their teaching, their warnings, their admonitions, and your life has spiraled or is slowly spiraling out of control. You are here this afternoon, and as you hear the word of God, you must admit that things are not going well. Well, listen, there is a way back. There is a way back for all disobedient sons and daughters. Jesus taught that in a parable. There was a young son who took his share of his father's inheritance and went to a faraway country, and he spent it all on riotous living, on wine, women, and song. But when the money ran out and he found himself literally in the pig pen feeding hogs, a few corn cobs away from starving to death, he came to his senses and went home. And as he turned into the lane of the family farm, he saw his father running toward him. He fell into the embrace of his father, and his father said, "My son is home. He was lost, but now is found. My son is home." There is a way back, loved one. There is a way back to the Heavenly Father and to his eternal home. You have been baptized, been marked out as belonging to God. There is a way home. Or perhaps you are parents, silently grieving for a child who grew up but quit listening to you. He went his own way. He is like a son in the parable, but who is still, as it were, in a faraway country. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Remember that one son of Israel dying on a cross beside Jesus, impending death, focused his mind on the one thing that was important. Impending death has a way of doing that. He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Do not quit praying for the sake of that straying child. Plead upon his baptism. Pray that God may work in him to turn his heart back to Jesus, that Jesus may have mercy on him and bring him into his kingdom. May God bring us all into his heavenly kingdom, to that beautiful land, to the home he is preparing for us. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, may we as parents and grandparents show our love for you in our actions and speech with those around us, that we may give our children and grandchildren good instruction, especially when it comes to your word. We pray for our children that they will grow up with the fear of the Lord and being thankful for all the blessings they receive from you. We pray that they may accept the instruction they are given by their parents and from your word, that the years of their life may be many. We also pray for those who have not listened and feel there is no way back, that they would know there is always a way back, and they are always loved. Through Christ our Savior's name we pray. Amen.